Welcome to I'll Marry You, a podcast with me, Olivia Coleman, full of tips and tricks from the UK wedding scene, interviews with industry experts, and a whole lot of oversharing. Good morning, good morning. I know I've said it before, and you know what? I'm going to say it again. I don't understand why I've not been scouted to be a singer, a pop star. You'll be pleased to know, if you're not familiar with Schitt's Creek, you bloody well should be. It's the best thing on television. But you'll be pleased to know, if you are familiar, you might have picked up that on occasion I sound a bit like Moira, who's one of the lead characters in this American sitcom. And I can't help it because she's absolutely fantastic, but also because I have been rewatching for the fourth time Schitt's Creek on Netflix. And I have realised this about myself, that I've known for a while, if I'm totally honest, but when I get really into a series, I start like adopting their phrases and their mannerisms. And so for some time now on the podcast, I have been listening to myself and I've been hearing bits of Moira. So for those of you that have picked up on that, and it may well be driving you mad, it's over now because I finished the series. I'm not going to lie, I will watch it again. It's like millennials will understand that thing of having friends on in the background just constantly. It's like a familiarity that you can have as background noise. That's Schitt's Creek for me. I'm obsessed with it. I just think it's the most wonderful show ever. But yes, I was starting to adopt Moira's turn of phrase, and I realised that I do that generally. Sort of when I used to watch Love Island religiously, I would almost pick fights with my husband, and then I'd be like, "Do you know what, babe? Can I just pull you for a chat? Can we just go over by the hot tub?" He'd be like, "What are you on about? We haven't got a hot tub. Just let's go over and just talk about how you feel. How are you feeling about today?" He thinks I'm balmy. Or if I watch like American reality TV series like Love is Blind or Married at First Sight, all research, I hasten to add, I'd be like, babe, let's just unpack that. You know, I just don't think you're taking accountability. I learned the phrase ghosting from these programs. So if anything, they're educational. And I stand by that. But you'll be pleased to hear that Schitt's Creek's over, so I'm going to go back to talking like myself, whatever that may be. And I apologise if actually you would prefer me to talk like someone else. I hope you've all had a magical week. In true transparency, I'm actually recording this on the day it's coming out to you. Do you know why? Because I wanted to record it yesterday. I like to do things last minute, but also because I like them to be fresh, you know? So I was going to record it yesterday. My producer loves that about me, so he has like a very quick turnaround. But I was in a foul mood yesterday. Can't tell you for why. Just woke up feeling real bluesy. So I messaged producer Drew and I said, "You know what, babe? It's just not going to come out today. I'm sorry, I can't record it today. I'm miserable. I'm a miserable bitch, and no one wants to hear that on the old Spotify, do they?" So I waited till the very day and I feel better today. Thank you for asking. I do. I feel better. I went to the gymnasium, didn't I? I've started Slim Fast. Now, bear with me. I think I used to have such willpower and I don't anymore. I don't know what that is. My mum says it's very normal for a parent who has a toddler to like pick at food because it's just constantly there. They are constantly snacking. You are constantly making them something and they leave like a crust of the toast or one fish finger. I mean, they leave one fish finger because obviously as a parent, you make more than they need so you can have a fish finger, do you see? But it's a constant picking and I've lost all willpower. I'm sort of so good on a Monday, possibly a Tuesday morning. And by Wednesday evening, I'm like, "Oh, sod it." Do you know what I mean? Just eat the curry, drink the wine, just sod it, be fat and happy. But so I think what I needed was sort of a very strict, regimented plan. And after my child spent several minutes playing with my gunt, as I so affectionately like to call it, my gut and my, you know, you tinkers, you know what I'm talking about. Which sometimes, you know what, when my gunt is on show, like in a bikini, I say to myself, "You know what, Liv, this is just a sign that you've created life and you've given birth and you should be proud of your gunt." I'm not, if I'm honest. Deep down, I'm not. Like, it's flabby, it's unnecessary, and it will not go away. So she was playing around with my gunt, and it was a very, very depressing time for me. So I thought, oh, sod this. Right, I need a quick fix to sort of get me on the right path, you know, get me boosted. So I went on to SlimFast. Other supplements are available. Do you think I might get a deal? Wouldn't that be fun? Sponsored by. Not with my gunt. Not if I keep saying gunt. I think I've said it 8 times. So I went to SlimFast and I got like a 7-day quick fix starter pack thing. And it came yesterday and I was very good. I understand that today is only day 2 and I've currently got a latte, but that doesn't count because it's liquid, like gin. Last night for my supper, so the idea is you have, I'm really going into detail, you can fast forward this bit. But the idea is that you supplement breakfast and lunch and then you have a nice, healthy, balanced, nutritious meal for dinner. So I had a bowl of lentil bolognese sort of sauce with peas, which actually was bloody delicious. Chuck a load of Worcester sauce on that bad boy and you got yourself a tasty meal. Do you know what I mean? Next to me, my husband, my supportive, wonderful husband, ate an entire pizza, an entire piece of garlic bread, and then for pudding, he ate an entire sharing size bar of chocolate. It was sickening to watch. Apparently not sickening to eat, but sickening to watch. And I was like, I was so good. I did not even have a bite. And I swear down, not a single bite. And normally, like we've been together 16 years. And in all that time, he's never had a piece of toast without a bite taken out of it. I bite everything he has. But I didn't. I didn't have a single bite. I was so good. And he kept like, oh, I'm just going to get a drink or I'm just going to check on Lola. I was like, shut up, sit down and eat your fat because I can't sit here any longer and watch you. It was torture, actual torture. Once he'd finished the pizza and the garlic bread and went on to the chocolate, I made myself a little red bush tea, didn't I? Because I was like, I can't, I need something in my hands. I can't. I didn't even have a square of chocolate. Are you so proud of me? I'm proud of me. We're on day 2. I'm planning on doing it just 4 days this week because it's Easter, isn't it? It's Easter weekend. I'm very excited. I'll tell you all about my Easter weekend next week, but I'm not doing a huge amount, although I do have a wedding on Easter Sunday, which I'm very excited about. And speaking of, you know, weddings, which is why in theory you listen to this absolute nonsense that I spout, I would like to tell you today a little story time all about my first wedding of 2024, Bex and Pete. So, first wedding, last weekend. Last weekend? Weekend before. Last weekend? When was it? Who am I? 16th of March. Hold fire, that wasn't last weekend, was it? It was the weekend before that. Oh my God. It feels like yesterday. 16th of March, my first wedding. Bex and Pete. And it was wonderful. It was so, so lovely. It was quite different. I'll tell you for why. Well, let's go back to the beginning. You know me. I love a story time. So I woke up on the Saturday morning and I was very excited, but I was very nervous. And I don't normally, I always have adrenaline and like nerves, you know, like butterflies in my stomach, but I'm not normally that nervous. And I was really nervous. And I think it was because I haven't done a ceremony since December. And even in December, I'd only done one, and then the other one was November. So it'd been a while since I'd performed, so to speak. And like I've said to you before, I adore all my couples, but there are some couples that I just connect with better than others, more often than not, just because they are prepared to commit more time to creating the friendship that I enforce upon them. So Bex and Pete and I had become friends, and I cared a lot about them, and I knew a lot about them. And they were so excited and I was so excited and I hadn't done it in a while. So there was a lot of emotions going on. And, you know, I was still trying to diet, wasn't I? So I woke up on the Saturday morning early with my child, obviously, because my husband has to sleep because he's a man. He needs so much sleep. I, however, like to get up, have a cup of tea, you know, maybe pop a little fake tan on and watch some Elsa or something. Lola's still asleep. It's just what I watch. I was like, look, I don't have to leave. It's quite local. Don't have to leave till 12. So let's go about our business this morning. Let's not waste the day, you know, up with the lark. So eventually James got up, lazy ass. and we went to Matalan, didn't we? Went to Matalan for a quick shop. Then we went to B&Q. Why, and Halfords, why any couple would go to B&Q together is a mystery to me. It's an absolute mystery. It's a bit like going to IKEA with your partner. Don't know why you do it. I think actually that should be something that all couples should do. You know, they say you should live with your partner before you marry them. I think you should go to IKEA or a DIY store before you marry them, because then you really see what you're getting yourself into. So me and Lola are farting about the aisles. I'm putting her in the shower and sitting her in the loo, and we're running around because that's just generally what I'm like. I'm a child with my toddler. And James is looking at nuts and bolts or something, very excited, mildly aroused, I imagine, in aisle 7. And it all gets very tense because suddenly I realise the time. I washed my hair. That's done. And I know what I'm wearing because I had an absolute panic a few days prior, gone to town and spent 100 quid on trousers that were too big for me because I thought I'd put on so much weight, nothing's going to bloody fit. And then it was all too big. So then I felt very skinny, very good about myself. So I allowed myself a donut. And so I knew what I was going to wear. Hair was ready. I just needed to sort of get back and do my makeup and like prepare. So we get back, we get home. No, sorry, we're in B&Q and I'm stressing out now because I suddenly realised the time and I'm like, babe, we got to go. I got to go. Got to go. Wedding day. So that's how I talked to him. So he's like, yes, of course, babe. I'm just going to pop into Halfords again. I'm just going to pop into Halfords. Could you just be really quick, babe? Because I really want to get home. I'm getting a bit flappy now. And I just really, you know, when you've got that nervous energy and your anxiety starts and you're just like, oh, I just need space and time and just please hurry up. I was like, yeah, okay, hurry up though. Yeah, okay, I'll just be really quick. So me and Lo get in the car and we move the car around the car park to pick him up outside the entrance. He's not inside Halfords. He's outside chatting to some man. So in true coy, shy, insecure fashion, I wind the window down and say, who are you talking to? Why are you talking? Hurry up. To which the man thought was very amusing. My husband did not. He was just talking about his trade discount, because that's what people want to talk about when they're in a rush for their wife, isn't it? Trade discount. So he has a 10-minute conversation about trade discounts to the employee. I have a 10-minute conversation with myself about if we divorce, where would I live? Eventually, he gets his ass in the car and we go home. Lola then decides it's a perfect opportunity to throw a fit. So tantrum comes out. I'm stressed. He's stressed. Everyone's yelling at one another. And I realised that it was just all adding to the nerves. And I realised that I know it sounds wanky, I do. But before a ceremony, I have got to have my own space. Like, this is why people have green rooms. Oh my God, that literally just came to me. This is why people have green rooms, because they need quiet, they need space, they need time to like gather their thoughts, get their head in the game and sort themselves out. And I need that. When I start getting a bit anxious and a bit flappy and a bit flustered, I need to just be left alone to just do what I need to do and then I'll calm myself down. Do you know what I mean? So it was all getting a bit much. I couldn't find my makeup, my foundation, which was stressing me out. So I had to use a tinted moisturiser, which is like putting a bloody band-aid on a bullet hole, isn't it? So that was a thing. And then I got dressed. That was fine. And then I put my bag together. That's fine. Got my shoes on. So I'm all ready to go. So I leave my husband. No, I leave the house and my husband. And he was being an asshole all morning. And then right at the last minute, oh, bye, baby. You look absolutely beautiful. Good luck. Have fun. Thank you so much. I was like, what are you going to do with Lola all day? What's in a few hours? I'll be back in a few hours. Yeah, I'll probably take her to my mum's. Of course you will. Take her to your mum's, won't you? Of course you will. So I leave and make my way to Kingscote Barn, where the wedding is, which is sort of Stroud, Tetbury, Cotswold way. It's absolutely stunning. And it was the first time I've done a ceremony there. I've been there before. I've been there. I'll tell you why. Now, this is a bit cheeky, but I think everyone does it. I don't think I'm the only one. When I used to work at a different wedding venue and when I genuinely got engaged, even though I knew I was going to get married at home where my parents live, I decided to use this legitimate opportunity of a real engagement to go and look at our competitors. So me and two of my friends who happened to work with me, we spent a day just going to see three or four different venues around our venue to see what they were like, which is naughty, I know, but I'm pretty sure there were occasions at my venue where people came and we were like, they're spies. So you know, no harm, no foul. So I'd been there, I'd seen it, I liked it. I knew that the view is incredible. It's down this valley. They've got gorgeous accommodation. Since then, because that was sort of 7 or 8 years ago, they've erected glamping pods, which look, I didn't go inside, but they looked really, really cool. So I was very excited to go. So I got there and you know me, you know how I like to get changed in lay-bys because I'm a country girl, but I didn't because it was a little grey and drizzly. So I'd done my hair and my makeup, but I was wearing my chumpies, so to speak, you know, my casual gear. I was going to get ready when I got there. But when I got there, even though I got there an hour before the ceremony was due to start, an hour before it was all start, everyone was bloody there. So I'm walking through the car park and everyone is in the main hall that I would have to walk through to get dressed. And I clearly look like the help, which I kind of am, I suppose. But I don't like that. I like to appear professional straight from the off. Anyway, Pete, the groom, came out to me in the car park. God, he's just such a nice human. And he came out, he was very handsome. He's got long brown curly hair and he was wearing sort of a dusky pink velvet jacket with a black bow tie, black trousers and a white shirt. Very sweet, very lovely. And he was so nervous. He was like, oh my God, thank God you're here. I was like, telling him, I'm here. I've got an hour to go. What's going on with everyone? He was so nervous. I said, are you all right? Are you emotional? You know, he's like, babe, I cried putting the beers in the fridge this morning. Like that was a thing. Like he just, his Scottish usher kept telling him to get a grip. I won't do the accent. But he was all of a dither, bless him. So I said to him, where's Bex, the bride? I'll go and say hi to her before I find a disabled toilet to get changed in. It's very glamorous, my job. He's like, oh, she's over there in the bridal suite getting ready. So I went in and it was such a vibe. And all the bridesmaids, they were all already as well. I felt, I for a moment, I was like, have I got the wrong time? Why is everyone so prompt? They were already, they were all dancing away. It was so nice to see her. She looked unbelievable and so pretty. This tiny little blonde thing, she's just gorgeous. And she was like, oh, get changed in there. So I went and got changed and came out, chatted to James Fear, the photographer, and the mother of the bride and the bridesmaids and all that jazz, sort of went over some things, just calmed their nerves, made sure they were excited and happy and knew what was going on. Then once I transformed into professional Olivia Colman celebrant, I went into the main space and greeted the events manager and the team there. And there was an event stylist and a florist and a harpist, the Bristol harpist. She's just amazing. I've worked with her a few times. I will tag everyone on the Instagram as well so you can find them all, because it was a great team of people. They're all really, really lovely. And like, you know, I always say that it's not just what they can do, but it's how they do it. And it's so important that you have nice people around you on the day. So their theme was like disco, Vegas, bright colours, palm trees, disco balls. It was very, very cool. Very cool. Bex and Pete have been together quite a while. Let me just check. I've actually got the ceremony in front of me because I wanted to appear professional, like I knew what I was talking about, you know. So Bex and Pete first met over 12 years ago. And Bex was a PT at gym and Pete was doing a tour. And so she totally illegally found his personal details and you know, understood his name and then started talking to him. So they've been together a while. They got engaged a while ago as well. And they found me pretty quickly after the engagement. But they understood that what I do isn't legal. So they knew that they would have to legally get married before the day itself. I mean, they could do it after, but most of my couples do it before the day. Normally they do it maybe a month before or even the week of. So it sort of feels fresh and it's not really a huge deal. Anyway, Bex and Pete understood this. They knew that they had to do that legally. What they decided to do, which was the first of two surprises for the day, was that they decided to legally get married in Guernsey, where Pete is from, and they both absolutely love Guernsey. They decided to fly over to Guernsey and get married on the 16th of March, 2023. So exactly 1 year before their wedding day with me. How fun. And no one bloody knew. No one knew. The parents, the best man and the maid of honour, no one else knew. None of the guests. They hadn't been wearing their rings. It was a total surprise. So when I met them for their planning meeting, they were months prior, they were like, oh, we've got something to tell you. I was like, oh, you're up the duff, aren't you? I can't possibly marry if you've had sex. It's despicable behavior. But she was like, no, we're already married. I was like, yeah, sure, everyone is, babe. She was like, no, we got married a year ago and we want to like announce it to people on the day. So I was like, oh my God, amazing. Do you know, I told one of my friends this story and she was like, I'd take my gift back. It's not a wedding. Luckily, none of Bex and Pete's friends felt the same. So I knew that I was to reveal this surprise. So that's something that I've never done that. I've never, ever done. I have never, apart from a few post-lockdown weddings where everyone knew there had been like a legal wedding for 5-6 people and then this was the ceremony kind of party vibe, I've never announced that they, when they were legally married. I've said sort of, as you all know, they were legally married then, but it's never been like a thing. So I was quite excited about it and quite nervous about it. I didn't know how that they would react or if they'd cottoned on. So I'll just read out to you the introduction. So this is how I did it. So Bex walks down the aisle. Everyone sits down and I start. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to formally welcome you here today to this stunning venue to celebrate Bex and Pete. My name is Olivia and it is my honour to officiate today's ceremony. In my humble opinion, there are only two things better than a wedding day. A wedding day where the couple in question are this gorgeous and wonderful and lovely and fabulous, and a wedding day that isn't actually a wedding day. Right, so at this point, a few eyebrows start to raise. I continue. A wedding day whereby all the guests believe they are here to watch their dear friends get married, when in actual fact, this is not their wedding day. This, today, is a very elaborate celebration to mark their 1-year anniversary. Then they all went mad. They were like, oh my God! And they all started clapping and cheering. And straight away, I mean, obviously they got it. They're not idiots, but straight away they got it. And they all thought it was hilarious. They're like, oh my God, you've been married a year, because that's quite a long time. And they do say the first year is the hardest. So it was really fun. And putting that right at the beginning of the ceremony, instantly, it noted the whole vibe of the day. It was like indicative of the fun and ease and relaxation that was to come throughout, not just the ceremony, but the whole day. It was brilliant. It really set the tone. So yeah, everyone cheered and everyone was happy and smiling and everything else. Thought it was brilliant. And then we carried on and they did a ring warming. We had some reading and a music. Oh my God, the music. So Bex and Pete met in the gym, but they both are very, very into their music. They're musicians. And a while after they met, they formed a band called the Muffin Heads. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, and I've said this to them, not my type of music. Angry. It's quite angry. I don't know. I should have asked what genre it is. I'm going to say heavy metal. Rock, heavy metal, trance. Heavy metal, rock, trance. I don't know. I'm sure it's amazing. I can tell they're very talented. It's just, it's a lot, you know? Anyway, they're so into their music. They are completely devoted to festivals and gigs and live music or performance art, really, of any kind. They're brilliant. They're really, really into it. So it was very important that they had the right music for the ceremony and for the wedding as a whole. And they had brought in the Bristol harpist, who is wonderful. And she played Bex down the aisle. But then after the first reading, we went straight into a piece of music, which actually worked really well. I didn't introduce her. It literally, the guest finished reading and it went straight into her playing Hallelujah on the harp. And it was, God, it was beautiful. Like, people were crying. It was so beautiful. And Pete said to me afterwards, he was like, wasn't that amazing? I was like, yeah, it's incredible. He said, I just wanted people to shut up and listen to the music and feel it just for a couple of minutes. And just like, and also to have that at the beginning of the ceremony again. So we've gone from laughter to like beautiful, calm, wonderful, serene music. And then we go into me again. Not that. So that was a really, really lovely, quite unique addition. And then I started talking about their story. So that's technically what I would call the address. And I started talking to their guests about how they met and how they fell in love and what they love to do and what they like about each other and what they don't like about each other. And that's the most personal bit. That's when I tell your story. And it's really, really lovely. And then we go on to the vows. And they had chosen to write their own vows. But unbeknownst to Bex, our bride, Pete had contacted me privately because he had another surprise in store. So I've said that they're into their music, very into their music. And when they decided to write their own vows, I said to them, brilliant, wonderful, fine. You obviously can write lyrics, so you can write a poem or you can write a speech, whatever. And if you want to send your vows to me when you're writing them, then I can just check over them, give you an advice, but also, most importantly, I think, make sure that they kind of work together. And then Pete emailed me and said, I've got an idea for the vows, but I'm not sure if it's going to work or not. He wanted to read the lyrics to Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up as his vows. So I took a moment. No, do you know what? I sent an email back and I said, right, I've been thinking about this. I've got an idea. I'm going to call you. So I called him. He was in Costco, wasn't he? Loves Costco, our Pete. And I said, look, I've got an idea. I said, I think you're right. I think that the vows need to be a bit more sentimental, but you two are a laugh and you want this ceremony to be funny and fun and light as well as serious and meaningful. So I think maybe don't do it in your vows, but let's do it before the vows. So I think you should definitely do it, but just save the romance for the vows kind of thing. So what we did was halfway through the address, I'm talking about how Pete loves Beck so much. So I sort of say, in Pete's exact words, she is beautifully independent and incredibly articulate with a real sharp wit. He loves how clever you are, how determined and hardworking you are. He is so proud of you as a person, but also everything you have achieved professionally. In fact, Pete, if you don't mind, I have something here that I would really love you to read aloud to Bex. Pete wrote something about you, Bex, that was so wonderful. It literally brought a tear to my eye. It's so thoughtful and profound and incredible. Like, I can't believe that these words came from this man, and it's all about you. So Pete, if you could. And then I hand him my folder. And she's thinking, hang on a minute, because they've read the ceremony, but she hasn't read this bit. So she's thinking, she's looking around confused, like, hang on a minute, I don't know what's about to happen. And everyone's like, oh, isn't this sweet? Oh, isn't this magical? Isn't this lovely? And then Pete stands up and he holds my file and he's like, Bex and I are no strangers to love. She knows the rules and so do I. A full commitment's what I'm thinking of. She wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. Got to make her understand. I'm never going to give you up. I'm never going to let you down. And I'm never, never going to run around and desert you. It was fucking brilliant. It was so good. I thought that no one would get it until the never going to give you up bit, but they did because they're into their music so much, especially Bex. She knew. She knew from like the third line, and it was so funny. And Pete had pitched it just right. It was brilliant. I've always said this because I did it for my second ever ceremony. I had a reading that were song lyrics and we burst into song, and I've loved it ever since. I love the idea. You really should think about it. If there's any song lyrics that you like that you can sort of say kind of jokingly, I think do it. If it's pitched right, it is brilliant. And everyone was laughing and they all got it, and we were literally crying with laughter. It was so funny. But the best part is that Bex and Pete are very competitive with the world, but also with each other. For example, on the first of each month, Bex sets her alarm early so that she can wake up and be the first person to do pinch punch first of the month. Like, how can you not love a person like that? So she was furious that he'd got one over on her and he had created this surprise with me. Like, it was so funny. It was absolutely priceless. And then I went on with a bit more sort of romantic stuff. And then they did their real vows, which were gorgeous and wonderful. Although I must tell you, the first time this has ever happened, and I've now done over 100 ceremonies, Pete's vows, instead of saying bad, he said bed. And I think he did it on purpose, you know. He's a wily little minx, that Pete. I think, I can't remember exactly what it was because I haven't got his vows, but it was something like, I will love you in good and in bed. And it, again, I think he did it on purpose, but the way he did it was brilliant. And it's so simple, but it's so funny because he said bed. Do you get it? it was just so happy and so wonderful and so lovely. And then it ended. It ended. My love ended. No, the ceremony ended and they had some gorgeous music playing them out. And the whole thing was just, it was really, really special, really special. And you know what I'm like. I like to get a little tipsy on the night of the wedding and then message my bride and groom, don't I? Like they give a shit. And I didn't. I was very good. But they messaged me the next morning. Isn't that delightful? I was like, oh, yes, they're still thinking of me. I'm not dead to them yet. Bex messaged me and she was like, oh, my God, that was amazing. I can't tell you how much we loved it. Everyone was talking about you. Everyone wants your number. Of course they do. Saucy minxes. It's because I was wearing those expensive trousers that were too big for me because I've been dieting. It was just, oh, it was such a happy occasion. I love it. I absolutely love it. And it makes me so excited for more to come. What I have learned, though, is that when I get ready for future weddings, I can't be around my child or my husband. And I must go back to what I used to do at the beginning of my career, which is I would lie to my husband. Because if I can teach you anything about marriage, it's that really truth is overrated. Okay. So I would lie to my husband and I would tell him that the ceremony started an hour earlier than it did. And I had to leave an hour earlier than I had to. So I could have a little extra me time. Anyway, thank you for letting me indulge myself and tell you that story. On to the next wedding this Sunday, and I'm very excited about it. So this week's RSVP is a really juicy one. I love it. Quite lengthy. I also really enjoy the way he's written. I assume it's a he. Yes, no, I assume it's a he. I think it's a he. So he writes... I say he because he signed it anonymous, you know, not a moose called anon, but anonymous. He writes, hi, Liv. Can I call you Liv? I really enjoy that. Yes, you can, darling. Hi, Liv. My fiance listens to your podcast, normally from the bath, and I hear her laughing away. I was talking to her about this the other day, and she said I should slide into your DMs, which isn't something I expected to hear from my soon-to-be wife. So here I am. Love that for you. We are getting married next spring, nearly a year to go. As it stands, I have not assigned my wedding friends, groomsmen, etc. My issue is I have two brothers, one whom I am close to and one whom I am not. I have three best friends who I've known since school and a group of amazing mates from uni. How do I choose between them all? I don't want to piss anyone off before the stag. Thanks, Anon. There's a lot to unpack here and I'm really enjoying it. First and foremost, I think we should all call them wedding friends. Wedding friends. I like that a lot. And yeah, you don't want to piss anyone off before the stag because you'll end up dressed like a... what are they called? Those yellow creatures with the blue glasses. Oh, you know, the minions. Minions. I don't know where that came from. Anon. Tricky. First and foremost, you don't have to assign anything to anyone yet, do you? I suppose the awkward thing is that... people will assume and people will ask. So in a way, even though you don't have to make any decisions yet, the sooner you do make the decision and stick with it, the better. But then, of course, if you make it too soon, you could fall out with one of them. And let's not add another layer to this drama, shall we? I think that a lot of people these days have more than one best man. A lot of men. Not many girls have more than one maid of honour, but a lot of men have more than one best man, quite often because their friendship group is just that. It's a group. It's not just the two of you. But every time a groom of mine chooses more than one best man, I always respond with, which one's the real one? Because let's be honest, there is. There is. There is always a real one. For example, if you chose both your brothers, the one you like is the real one. And the one you like less is the show one, isn't he? So... very, very difficult. I'm getting from your message that you don't have a single best friend. So I suppose you don't have to have a best man. I would say everyone's your mate, right? Everyone's there because they love you and they're all going to be going on the stag. You can't have, I mean, some people have like 10 ushers or 10 bridesmaids or whatever. Who's to say you can't? But if you don't want that, because quite often you have to pay for their suits and things like that. If you want a smaller wedding party, either have, my suggestion would be to have your two brothers and either just your two brothers or just your three best friends. And maybe explain to the brother you prefer the scenario, because I'm sure he gets it. Like, I'm sure he understands because you're all family and he probably knows the situation, knows what's going on. I don't think you're going to piss anyone off, to be honest. I've never heard of drama with the male wedding party. There was a lot of drama with the female wedding party, but not with the male wedding party. They might be disappointed, but they'll get over it. Do you know what I mean? Just slap on the arse and pour them a pint and they'll move on. So that's what I would do. But also there's the option of not having any. of just, I don't know how big a wedding is. If you've got a wedding of like 50 people, then those friends that you're describing are going to be like a quarter of the guest list, aren't they? So don't have any, don't even have a best man if you don't want to. If you've got 300 guests coming, then yeah, you might want to have them all. Very tricky, and I probably haven't helped at all. I apologise. Do let me know how you get on. And congratulations for your wedding and why am I marrying you? Thank you so much, Anon. Thank you so much for listening. It really does mean the world. If you find this podcast even remotely helpful or moderately entertaining, share with all your friends and family. You can DM me any questions, queries, if you want to share any stories on the podcast Instagram at I'll Marry You Podcast. Get in touch. I want to hear all your tall tales. See you soon.
I'll Marry You is a podcast by Olivia Coleman. The music is Mr. Sunnyface by Wayne Jones, and the show is produced and edited by Drew Toynbee.